Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Our Bible reading is going to be taken from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. It reads, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and give us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good way." In every good way and way. I repeat verse 17 again. "Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good way and works." Amen.
Amen.
There's so many. We're from London, Nottingham, Bermuda, all over. You are our honoured guests, and we welcome you into our assembly today. Thank you for being here with the congregation and for being a part of our fellowship. So we welcome you. For any visitors from the community, we want to welcome you. Make sure you let us know who you are before you leave. We'd love to get to know you more and tell you about our congregation and the things that we are doing for the kingdom. So I picked this passage this morning, but I've changed my lesson, so here we go. But I'm going to use this anyway. For those of you who know, sadly, this last few days, Brother Power lost his mother. We always grieve with our brethren, we rejoice with our brethren, we grieve with our brethren. I kind of thought of this passage just as I was thinking of him. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation, good hope, by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." You know, our brother Power means the word, words, and we're going to start our time with a word of prayer for him. For his family as they spend this time in reading. So let's pray together. Great God and Father in heaven, we come to you as we always do, Father, not only giving thanks and not always asking for our needs and seeking to have you guide our lives. But Father, we come to you in our time of happiness and joy, but also in our times of grief. And this day, our brother Power is mourning the loss of his mother. And Father, we know that he and his family are being upset by this current situation. Father, comfort, we take comfort that she died in you. She was a part of your kingdom. She gave her life to you and lived her life to give honor and glory to your name. And so, Father, we pray to be reminded what a loving gift, a gift of life. And now, Father, as she goes on to that eternal promise, the promise that you make, may this be a reminder for us all to remember that our time on this earth is not forever, but our time for you is eternal. Help us to do as she did by her example. Prepare ourselves and be ready. And so we pray for comfort and peace, for Power and all his family back home in Nigeria. Watch over them, protect them, and be with them. And we ask this prayer through your son's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to be here. Good to be here. Just want to share some I think some wake-ups for us all, some reminders for us all, just to remind ourselves of how important, you know, what we have is. You know, we have a powerful message. A powerful message, a message of salvation. And this message is something that we have to tell the world. We have to remind ourselves as well, and what, you know, one of my favourite psalms is Psalm 78. Because Psalm 78 is the psalm that I need to remind myself. I need to remind myself of my walk with Christ. I need to remind myself of my Christian life and not forget these important messages. I want to share this with you. Now imagine, we're talking about the Israelite people who have been freed from captivity. You know, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? What have we been free from, brethren? We give our life to Christ and we're free from this sin. We're free from the devil's clutches. We're not free from the temptations, and we're not free from pain, and we're not free from suffering. And in many cases, by becoming a Christian, that increases. But we are free from the clutches of Satan, that when our time on this earth is ending, we have an eternal promise. And that promise is our eternal life with him. And here are these Israelite people, and of course their freedom is from a captivity. Their freedom is from being held prisoners, being held captive, by having no liberty, by having no liberation. And they were liberated and free by the power of God and set off on a journey to their destiny, the promised land. We too have been free and liberated from the sin. If you're a Christian, you've been freed from the sins of this world. If you are not a Christian, let me encourage you, because you can be set free today. You can be free from the traps of the devil. The message was this. And we can refer to this when we look at this into our own Christian walk. Of course, in the time, he says, give ear, O my people. In other words, listen to me. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. What does the majority of people in the world do? We incline our ears to what we want to hear. We incline our ears to the things that might matter to us more so. And certainly with reference to these Israelites, they were inclining their ears to the things that they felt were far more important. He says, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Brethren, in the New Testament, we are given the word of God. It's his voice. It's his way of speaking to his people. So he wants us to incline our ears to hear his voice. He says to them, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. How many times are we told things, and yet we just don't listen? Or how many times have we told things, but with time we let these things vanish away? I can remember as a child growing up, a very stern family, if you would have it, in relation to the church, especially. And so there were things that were drummed into us as children that were important. It's important to break bread. It's important to worship. It's important to study. It's important to pray. All these things are drummed into us in our life. And yet, over time, we can let go of these teachings. And so here, the Israelite people, he says, I will utter dark sayings of old. In other words, you're going to hear some messages that you heard before. You've heard them, and you've known them, because our fathers have told you. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. What a message of salvation that we have. The praises of the Lord. When I think, when you think what God has done for you, you know, he blesses us day after day. And of course, the greatest blessing is the gift of his Son on the tree for our sins. He says in the Old Testament, he had established a testimony in Jacob. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. In other words, passing it on. Passing on the message. What amazes me is when you hear the messages that you heard all through your life. I hear messages spoken in here that I heard when I was 12 years old, sitting in a congregation, and we were probably dressed different. Everybody had suits on, and we sat in pews, and we didn't have projectors, we had hymn books, and the process was there, but it was all biblical. And though today we may dress slightly different and we may sit in comfy chairs and we may read out of newer versions of the Bible, translations of the Bible in modern language that we can read and understand, we see that the generations need to hear the same message. And so the process of how we do things can change if it's not contrary to teaching. But however, the message must remain the same, because it is his message, this message of salvation. And so he says that the generation in that time to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God. That is the purpose. Our purpose for our children is not to set their hope in man. It is not to set their hope in the building. It's not to set their hope in the social. It's to set their hope in God. We need our hope in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is the hope that we have to share with those around us. And this is the hope that we need to instill in ourselves. And he says, not only that they may set their hope in God, but not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. And of course, in that time, there would be the old covenant and the commandments. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we have things that we are commanded to do. There is a way of becoming a Christian. There is a way of living our Christian life. There is a way that we worship our God. Because God has things laid out. And these are the things that we can share and pass on to those around us. It says that they may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And you can go through times where people's minds go away. People let go of the truth, and we have to hold on to the real truth. And we have to hold firm to that. That's what we strive to do here. We will always strive to do the will of God. That is why we welcome when somebody comes up and says, Brother Paul, I just want to check something. I want to make sure that you quoted that correctly. Because we speak from the Word of God. We speak from His Scripture. Now listen to this. I've referred to this on numerous occasions, the children of Ephraim. In verse 9 it says, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. And here's this children of Ephraim that have been kitted out for conflict and battle. Just like us, brethren. Put on the armour of God. You know, we are kitted out by God. We have the Holy Word as the teaching. So, you know, we don't have to rely upon our own persuasive words We have the power of God. We have the word of God. We have our relationship with God. So we have been equipped. We have been prepared. God provides for us lessons and Bible classes and studies and ways in which we can learn. Well, here we see the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. It says they turned back in the day of battle. I think of all the Christians that have gone through a struggle and walked away from God. All the Christians who they faced something that they felt was a bad deal. They felt like, you know, God wasn't with them. They felt like they deserved better. And so in the time of battle, they turned their back on God. It says these men refused to walk in his law. They refused. That was a decision. That was a choice that they made. They refused to walk in his law. And what did they forget? Listen, when you refuse to walk in his law, when you refuse to consume yourself with him, it says they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Everything that God had done for the Israelite people, and everything for these people, the children of Ephraim, that God had done, they let go of because they refused to walk in his ways. This is a warning. This is a warning, church. Be careful. Be careful how we walk our journey. Be careful what kind of things that can get in our way and pull us away from our relationship with God. You see, these people are on the way to a promised land, and yet they're refusing. They're refusing. Look at this in verse 12. It says, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. Remember, this is something that has not been passed on. This is things that the fathers had seen that had not passed on. It says, marvelous things they did. And here it says, he did these marvelous things in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. God delivered his people, parted the sea, and made a pathway for the people to walk through. And yet, the fathers didn't pass that on. They didn't pass that message on. And he made the water stand up like a heap. You would not forget that. That would be an experience. In the daytime, he also led them with the cloud, and at night, with a light of fire. In other words, God says, listen, I parted the sea. I delivered you from your captors. I provided a meal. I gave you a direction with light. And in the daytime, I provided clouds for you to follow. And the Bible says that everywhere they were, God surrounded them with his hand, with his love, and with his might. And at night, with the light of fire, he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance, like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. There's a few places in the world today that are struggling with the climate change, with the heat. Imagine this, these people here, God provides for them. He gives them everything they need. He gives them direction, support, help, food, drink in abundance. And water that flows down like rivers and streams. Look at what God has done for our lives, brethren. He gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. That's the first thing he redeemed us. He set us free. The second thing is he's a provider. He provides for each and every one of us spiritually. Anything we need spiritually. We pray for wisdom, he'll give you wisdom. He will take care of your needs and supply everything you have. He gives us the path. We don't have a light in the sky, we have the word of God. We don't have a cloud to follow in the day, we have the teaching. Tells me how to live my life, tells me how to be a Christian. And yet in that time, all these things that he gave them, it says, what did they do? They sinned even more against him. The more he does, the more they sin against their loving God. They sinned by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested God in their hearts by asking for the food of their fancy. How many times in our life do we test God? What do we ask for in our prayers? Sometimes we just ask him for the wrong things, aren't we? Oh boy. And you think back and you think, why on earth? What ever possessed me to even think to ask God for that? We ask him for things that we want. Talks here in the passage that they asked for the food of their fancy. Well, God provided them manna. He provided them water. So they had life. They had physical life, but that wasn't what they wanted. You see, they wanted the food of their fancy. How many times, you know, you give your kids some, when they're younger, you give them a meal. I don't want that. I wanted cake, and I want dessert, and I want all these things. When we're older, brothers and men, like steaks, and we want all these spicy foods, and I want them to taste a certain way. Listen, God provided these people with what they needed. But he says that they wanted the food of their fancy. He says they spoke against God. And then here we go. This is what they say to him. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? There they are in the wilderness having everything they need. And they tempt their God and say, can you provide a meal, a table, a banquet in the middle of a desert? He gives them what they want. What do they want? They want a banquet. They want a table. They want the best of everything. And so they say in their rebellion against God, can he do that? And behold, he struck the rock so the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? I say to you, be very careful what you ask God for. Be very careful. He might just answer your prayer. I'm telling you, he may just answer your prayer. We have everything we need, and we want more, and we ask for more, and we ask for more, and we ask for more. Listen to what he did. He says, therefore, when the Lord heard this and was furious, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came upon against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. His salvation was not enough to these people, because they wanted their needs. They wanted what they fancied. They wanted what they desired. And God said, my salvation should be sufficient. But it wasn't sufficient for them. And so he commanded the clouds above, and he opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna on them to eat. In other words, their dinner fell from the sky. He poured it down from above. He says, and giving them of the bread of heaven. You remember they wanted the food of the fancy? Okay, I'll rain down on you the bread of heaven. You'll get the best from me right now. And so I'll answer your prayers. He says, men ate angels' food. They didn't get the scrappy food. He didn't rain down the rubbish. He railed down on them a banquet from the sky to indulge their selfish, greedy minds. He says he sent food to the full. No longer the manna, the bits of manna, no longer the water. This is a banquet. He says, he caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power, he brought the south wind, and he rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp all around their dwellings. These people wanted the food of their fancy, and God gave it them. This is why I say be careful what you ask for. So all of a sudden, he let them have what they wanted. He rained it down on them. He poured the meat down on them. They had the food of angels. And they said, can God lay a table spread in the desert? You better believe he can. There is nothing that God cannot do. God can answer all our selfish needs, but they may not be good for us. In this situation, they certainly weren't. He says, they ate and were filled in verse 29, for he gave them their own desire. You hear that? He gave them their own desire. Be careful what you pray for. He gave them what they wanted. They were not deprived of their craving. But while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them. And he slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. So they had their food of fancy, and then he killed them. And you see, when we look and reflect upon this message in the New Testament, we have to realize that the salvation is sufficient, that our God is sufficient, that what he supplies is sufficient. He gives what we need. And when we are seeking the things of our desire and the things that are of value to us and things that are important to us, things that we feel matter, he may just give you those things. And there'll be no contentment. There'll be no peace. You'll be like these people who forget their God. They forget their God. They forget what God has done for them. You know, when you have sufficient, I think you're more appreciative than when you've got too much. When you've got too much, it's very easy not to appreciate what you have. When you've got sufficient, you ration. You take a bit more care. You know, you're more grateful for every meal that you have because you know that was a blessing through that. I refer often to our brother Bonfrey in India, and I speak to regular preacher in India. You know, days he's not eating. So for days. And thanking God. But when he gets a meal, he's rejoicing, praising God. Because he understands that God provides exactly what he needs. He's not asking for more, but he's giving thanks for what he's given. And this is the blessing that we have. And so we see how they ate and they were filled. But it cost them their lives. Now, the message is this, brethren. I'm going to leave this with you. The message is, what will it cost us? What will it cost us if we take our eyes away from God? What will it cost you if your eyes are distracted from the way of God? What would it do? It would cost you your salvation. In other words, you can live a peaceful life on this earth and have every treasure you need. You can have every blessing that you could ever wish for. But that might cost you your salvation. Our message is this. Our message is that we remember that God has blessed us through his Son. He gave his Son on the cross for our sins that we might have eternal life. We're no longer bound by the devil because he's freed us from captivity. This journey, this walk, and as we say to every Christian, every new Christian, this journey is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But I can tell you that God will provide. He will equip you, so don't put down your armor. Don't turn away from God in your time of battle. Don't seek your own desire, but seek the will of him who gave us life. The scriptures teach in Romans 10:17 about faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You will not hear salvation other than through the word of God. That's where it comes from. This is what matters. This is what is important. Mark 16, we have to believe. We hear his word. The question is, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe him? Are you willing to believe that? We have to turn our life around. Luke 13 talks about repenting, turning our life around. And then Philippians 2 talks about confessing him as Lord. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yes, I believe. Why do I believe? Because I've heard. And because I'm ready to turn my life around and confess him as my Lord. And then Acts 2 verse 38. Right under here, where I'm standing, is a baptistry. Ready to baptize anyone who wants to give their life to him. I encourage you. Don't delay. This is the message I'm sharing. This is his message. This eternal gift, this eternal life. And then, of course, we have to live our life to the full, to his glory. Revelation talks about us. You know, there'll be times when we will suffer. There will be times when we will struggle. But let us walk this walk with confidence, knowing that God is there. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will watch you. And he will keep you. I pray that God will bless you. Let me encourage you, if you would like prayers, at the conclusion of the invitation hymn, to remain standing. And we'll remember you in prayer. If you want to give your life to Christ, let us know. And we'll help you make that possible. Let us rise and sing the invitation.